Thank you for listening to this message from Lifehouse Church.
All right. Well, hey, good morning, everyone. Good to see you again. I know you've heard from me plenty already, and now we have a message. But I'm glad you're here this morning, and you may notice I have a friend up on the stage with me. This is River. River was on piano, and she is gifted in various different areas, including painting. So I've asked her to do a little bit of an illustration while I'm preaching this morning. But thank you for praying over our students and our staff, those that are going to camp this week, and even for those who have graduated. We're excited that we've gotten to get to know them, but then also that we get to stand together as a united body that gets to expect such great things for them. We know that God is working in their lives already and that he's just going to continue to do so. And so we're really excited that we get to be a part of that, both those going off to school soon, but also for those going to camp this week. It's crazy that it's already this point in the year, but has anybody else kind of been like, that's great, but where did the rest of June go? It has flown right by. And by this time in summer, usually it means we get to be outside, we get to enjoy the sunshine, all that warmth, which is super great, usually, except for the fact that this week it has been horrifyingly hot, and Ryan and I's house has actually been without AC since last Monday. Yeah. When Ryan and I first moved here from Bedford to Carlisle, there are some things that we were not prepared for but had to learn, such as, you know, what do you do or what is things that are worth the hassle when you're looking to buy a house? What do you do when your HVAC system is iced up? And where do you go when you're sweating in your basement? Those were all things that we had to answer by Monday. So you can only imagine how the rest of the week went. And I frequently joke that while I am an adult, I am not a premium adult. So for any of the young adults that are in here, or even like the teenagers are still in here, and if you're a kid that's still in here, listen to me when I say this. You don't know everything. Don't give them attitude when they're trying to help you, because someday you're going to wish that you had their advice. So there are some things that we have had to learn that I wish we didn't have to deal with, but regardless, we're so thankful for the people in our lives that have given us hope, that the ones who have shown us that we are not alone in the struggles that we've gone through. So Pastor Kip and Dixie, we are so thankful for you guys. You have been our wonderful oasis in the AC this week as we've gotten to stay with you guys, and we're so thankful for that. If you would, please pray with me as we get into the morning message. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for what you've already done this morning. God, we thank you that you are present with us, and we just are praying that this morning you allow us to be open to what you have prepared within me. Father, I pray that whatever is coming out of my mouth is not just things that are from my brain, but God, that I am just a vessel for your word, that you allow me to speak only what I am called to speak this morning, and that you allow anything that is maybe not in my notes to come out because it's something that you have designed or specifically called out for a moment for a person. Father, we know that you see each and every one of us individually, and we pray that you're with us this morning. Guide our words, illuminate revelation through the scripture, and allow us to just receive from you. So Father, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was saying, everything is a learning moment, but some things that you learn are unfortunately learned the hard way. Has anybody ever heard, and you can raise your hands, this catchy little phrase called leaves of three, let them be? Mm-hmm. All right, now, if you would, raise your hand if even though you've heard that phrase, or maybe you didn't, you still managed to find yourself in a wonderful rash position from said poison. Yep, you're not alone there. Now, that catchy little phrase, for those of you who don't know, is basically what people use to identify poison ivy or poison oak by its appearance. Basically, it's three leaves attached to one stem. And yet, despite having been taught those various ways, there are many of you, if you didn't look around, there are many of you who have still incurred that poison. And if you have not been exposed to that poison, you're one of a much smaller percentage for a variety of different reasons. You possibly don't live anywhere near it and just don't go outside. You are not allergic to it, which is a very small percentage of people. Or even you actually listen to the advice and the warnings that people gave you. But sin, much like poison, is tricky. People have tried to teach you what right is and what wrong is. And then the first time that it happens, you know, it's not great. You're experiencing all of those different symptoms that you've never experienced before. But if you choose to continually step into ignorance and just blatant disregard for what is right, what is wrong, then that's when you find that when you cave, you become a slave, which also can be stated like this. Whatever you submit to is what you commit to. I'll say that one again. Whatever you submit to, you commit to. If you want, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be in there for the majority of the morning. So I'm in Romans chapter 6, verse 15. I'm going to pull it up on the screen there. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15, says, "Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." You see, every action, reaction, or even inaction is a choice we've made. To see something and continue to watch it, to hear something and to choose to not interject, or even to eat something and to feel its effects. Whenever we make a choice, we commit to it. Even if we take a bite and reject it immediately, you've already chosen to expose yourself to something. You've chosen what would take up a part of your day. You've already given it a place in our history, even if we basically want to clear it away. Whatever it becomes, something that we choose is something that we commit to. So when it comes to sin and poison, then the next choice, the next step is what's crucial. In movies, if people are poisoned or they're in danger, what do? They what? They panic. Well, sure. But basically, they look for an antidote or they possibly call for help. You know, basically, they're like, somebody help me. I'm dying. I'm struggling. So then why, in our personal lives, when we're struggling with something, do we just want to kind of hide away in shame? We want nobody to know that we're struggling with something, that we're tangled in something. Because it's one thing to realize that we've been poisoned, but then another one to realize it and continue in our old ways, because that's when we discover that we've just been rolling in poison. And instead of learning from the effects of it, we get used to it. Who has ever watched God's Not Dead? Anybody? Yeah, it's a great movie series that I highly recommend if you've never seen it before. But there is a scene in there where there is an atheist son and he goes to visit his mother who has dementia. The son says, "You have prayed and believed your whole life, never done anything wrong, and here you are. You're the nicest person I know, and I'm the meanest. You have dementia, and my life is perfect. Explain that to me." Her reply was, "Sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble because he doesn't want them turning to God. Their sin is like a jail cell. It's all nice and comfy, and there doesn't seem to be any reason to leave. The door is wide open until one day the time runs out, the cell door slams shut, and suddenly it's too late." When I think of this scene, I picture somebody kind of laid out in a recliner. They've got a bag of potato chips on one hand and a TV remote in the other. Basically, you could say they're going nowhere fast. They are completely consumed with what they're doing and content with where they are. Likewise, if we find ourselves wrapped up in poison, but continue to kind of ignore the symptoms, the things that we've been going through, the discomfort and the convictions that we feel, the voice of God can grow distant. But it's not because he is distant, but because we began to not listen. Have you ever felt like God was so distant in your time of need, or maybe you actually managed to utter a prayer, but it felt like nobody was on the receiving end? I've been there too. I've struggled and I've cried. But the amazing thing is that even if we felt that he was distant, he was always making a way. It just may not look like what we expected. And despite our choices, God continues to plant exactly what we need near our mess. When there is poison, there's often a remedy growing close by. And that remedy points to the Creator. You see, often growing near poison ivy is another plant, sometimes called a touch-me-not. So we've got these two plants growing right next to each other in the same environment, one called poison, and the other one specifically telling us not to touch it. And naturally, you may be wondering, okay, I thought she was talking about a remedy. Why is her message getting worse? And why would God create something like that? Well, here's the thing about these two plants. Poison ivy, it is what it says it is. If you're allergic to the oil in the plant, you're going to get a rash or worse. But this other plant is actually just called a touch-me-not because somewhere along the line, somebody decided to poke its seed pods and it exploded. The other name for this plant is called a jewelweed because it refers to the dew droplets that can glisten when on the leaves. So yeah, that is the picture of how closely these two plants can actually grow right next to each other. And so the interesting thing about jewelweed is it actually can function like a natural remedy to the poison, to the oils within the poison ivy. If you are exposed to the poison, the sap within the jewelweed can neutralize the attack so long as you apply it as soon as possible. I mean, it might help minimize your symptoms if you've already developed a rash, but it certainly is not something that we use to just throw caution to the wind and walk through a patch of poison ivy thinking that nothing could ever go wrong. Because this remedy is not necessarily a healing, but it's a start towards one. Jewelweed was designed to direct us, to point us in the direction of hope, of healing. The existence of jewelweed is not God itself, but it points to God himself. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, "Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living." I also kind of like this version in the Amplified, because at the end it says, "You have become obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and to which you were committed." And so again, earlier I said, whatever you submit to is what you commit to. But we have to remember that mercy is not permission, but the grace of God is what empowers us to walk away from sin, not to remain in it. We are, in fact, saved by grace through faith in Christ who has saved us. But if we choose sin again and again with the mindset that he'll just forgive and forgive, we're missing a part. Yes, God's grace is sufficient. He is kind, he is loving, he is forgiving. But he's also seeking a repentant heart. He's seeking the one trying to turn from their current path of destruction and chaos and poison and seeking someone who is actually going to follow after him. He gives grace because he knows that we're not always going to get it right. He knows and he's going to heal us and he will protect us and he will provide things along the way to continually help us to seek after him. Scripture tells us that we were once dead. We were once entangled in sin with no hope. But God made a way. He gave us his son, and he continues to give us grace and mercy when we sin. But we have to make the choice to live free and wiser. We no longer just have to chase down symptom after symptom because he cuts to the root of the issue. For the Spirit of the living God does not just soothe wounds, but he breaks chains. The power that has set you free, the power that is within you in Christ Jesus, is what can break you free from anything from depression to anxiety. He can take you from self-harm and suicidality. He can take you from fear and generational curses. He can do it. Amen. And so the question here is not, is it true? But okay, I believe that. So God, what can I do? If we truly believe that, God takes us one step further. And instead of just walking in our normal path, he sets us apart and sets us on a path for his glory. Romans 6, 19, kind of the latter half of it, it says, "Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. And now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Obviously, this week we've got the 4th of July coming up, and most people around this time, they're attending freedom parades, and we're celebrating with fireworks, and it is a time that people often remember that freedom isn't free. And we know that we've got people serving our country daily, that people are dying on battlefields, that people are doing what they have been called to do. But we also have to remember that Jesus came for us. He came to pay that price, to die on the cross for us, bearing the weight of our sin and shame. And then he resurrected to claim his rightful victory over death. And we believe that he came to redeem us so that one day we could live an eternal life with him, free and in no pain and in peace and the comfort and the love that comes with his embrace. But until that day, we have a mission. He didn't just say, okay, you get to just live and go enjoy yourself and I'll see you later. It was, no, while you're there, I have a mission for you. Do you remember that I told you that the jewelweed can also be affectionately called the touch me not, right? The thing about those plants is that their scientific name is called Impatiens capensis. Impatience comes from that Latin word impatient. Basically, because the members of this family group are impatient to disperse their seeds. At the slightest touch, this pod will just explode. The capsules can dramatically go even as far as 6 feet away from where they were currently at, where they were currently planted. And to make it even more so, their seeds are buoyant, which means they float. So here's the point. In a world full of despair, bring hope. Many of us have been in patches of poison and we needed relief. Many of us have sat in the hot seat and needed a break. Many of us have endured the heat of the week and needed AC. Many of us have been through fire and we needed the fourth man. And all of us have been on our way to the heat of hell and needed saving. Romans 5:8 says that, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And while we can't personally save anybody in our own might, our testimonies can bring hope. Instead of harming people, shaming people, or pulling people down because of the messes that they are in or have been in, things that are part of their history, we should be taking everything and pointing it towards Jesus. Although we may be around trends and talks and all sorts of terrible things, every person that we meet, every action that we do is something that should reflect and point straight to him. Because we are to be in this world and not of this world. Jesus pointed out those two greatest commandments were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then to love others, to love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John 2:3-6 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is made truly complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And what better way to love God and love people than to tell them and to show them that there is hope and freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen? So then just as the jewelweed plant propels its seeds far and wide, we should be spreading seeds wherever we go. Because we never know just how far that seed will travel, and we don't know which ones are going to grow. It's not up to us to decide who needs the word of God and who does not, because everybody needs the word, but it's not up to us to decide who we should tell or who needs it the most in this moment. But every single person that we need should be a seed that we plant of the gospel. We have that living seed inside of us, and so at the slightest touch, we should be ready to explode, to spit out the good news. To be a slave of righteousness means to take every action, every reaction, or even at times our choice of inaction, and turn it to be glorifying to him. He called us to live in freedom, and sometimes people kind of turn their noses up at that, and they're like, well, this freedom doesn't feel very free. It feels like restrictions, even though the restrictions are meant to be like protections. With the 4th of July coming up, think of children around fireworks. You don't want a child to just grab a firework and take off running, right? God is the same way. He doesn't want us to take hold of something that he knows is just going to explode and harm us. Romans 6:22 says, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But as he gives us direction to stay away from things, he's not just a God of no, he's a God of go. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 tells us that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. And while the Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations, and you may look at me and say, well, I'm not going to be a missionary. I don't plan on leaving the United States, and that's fine. The thing about it is, your mission field is all around you. Right here where you're planted, or anywhere that you go, regardless of how long your season is. Again, that's not up to us to decide. So go make disciples. Go tell your friends and your families about God and tell them when they're making the wrong decisions and continue to guide them. Go pray for the waitress who just dropped a tray of glass and is concerned and worried for the rest of her job. Go pray for the quiet one sitting in the corner who doesn't even think that anybody cares that they're there. Go because we're called to do more than just to avoid sin, but to walk in the power and authority given to us by Christ Jesus and acknowledging that he declared that he would be with us until the very end of the age. Worship team, if you'd join me, and then also prayer team, if I could get you to come up front as well. No matter what has been, you are heard. Your prayers, our prayers, are not just hitting a wall, but God is asking us to step out in faith. He's calling people to turn off the TV and walk out of their prison cells. He's telling people that we need to leave our seats. We need to step away from our old selves and into who he has called us to be. And even in the commission to go, we are reminded that we are not the Savior. And thank God for that. We are not the ones that have to save everybody. We just have to follow the one who did. We are an imperfect people trying to follow a perfect God.
Tuning in to this message from Lifehouse Church. We pray that you were impacted powerfully by this message. If you have been personally affected by our ministry and you would like to partner with us as we love God, love people every day, visit our website at www.lifehousecog.com.